This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games, episode number 54. I'm joined, as always, by my Australian co-host, Liam. Liam, how are you?
I support unionism.
Liam, you're fired.
No, and that's the show.
And I say, hey!
Hey,
suggesting that we use that as an outro.
Until you send out a tweet.
Oh, the people who are actually like, oh, she got fired from the tweet within 10 minutes, because that's the way HR and any company
works. Imagine if they did. Imagine if Vince saw the tweet, was like, you gotta fire her. Ring her up right now.
What actually happened is Vince saw the tweet, and he grabbed the phone out of one of the social media producer's hands and sent the firing tweet himself. He's like, she's done.
No, I like to think that he has tweet notifications set up specifically for Zelina Vega.
No, just he has like a Google alert for the words like WWE and unionization. Just to slap it down as quickly as he can.
He would get a lot of notifications then, I feel. Not from talent, just every day someone going, hey, they should probably unionize.
It's always funny when like they come up, like there was the Alexa Bliss one during the week where she was like, oh, independent contractors, it's just the haters and cancel culture. It's like, oh. And that one where Bailey was being interviewed by someone who had like a...
That one's hilarious.
Like perfectly reasonable working conditions. They're like, wait, you don't have a collective bargaining agreement? And she's like, no, they look after us. And like it's the weird Stockholm syndrome where they're like, it's fine.
But to be fair, like with Bailey, I don't think she really does believe any of that. She was just toting the company line because she got caught off guard.
Well, you see,
but like Bliss is clearly brainwashed.
That's the problem. So many of them are brainwashed that you can't tell.
Oh, you could tell because Bailey was really like genuinely uncomfortable, I feel.
Yeah.
But Bliss is like, just anyone who came into the PC before experiencing life, I feel, is just like completely brainwashed, like Braun.
Hey, what excuse does Seth Rollins have?
Indoctrination. How do you think he got the idea for his gimmick, huh? He should just open Seth's PC.
She killed him there. That was great, though.
That was a perfect setup.
Because, like, you know, the second she got that call, and you know WWE don't send those tweets until they call the talent. So, like, the second she got that call, she's like, straight to Twitter, get it out, get it out, get it out. And 10 minutes later...
I hope she had a draft in
there. Oh, wouldn't it be great if she's like, aha, time, send, boom, get roasted. You fired me because I said I want unionization.
Mm. And the thing is, like, I was talking about Paige before, but, like, they can't fire Paige because anyone who, like, gets a career-related injury in their ring, they kind of take care of, like...
Mm.
It's like Kid. They're never going to fire Kid or Natalya. They're always going to be there. Until they don't want to be there anymore. I think the same is with Paige.
I don't know. I don't think WWE... I suppose that is WWE just protecting themselves, but...
Yeah. Oh, it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with putting them in, like, a bad situation.
WWE. What a bad company.
Mm. I'm just going to have Twitter up on the side, just in case anything else happens.
As Liam is desperately hoping for Aleister Black.
No. But if Zelina Vega went to AEW, would she be the third best, second best woman in the company?
All right, she's not as good as Sheeta. Do we count Thunder Rosa?
Signed.
So
she's not as good as Rio.
But Rio's not there anymore.
But she will be, like, as soon as they can.
Which is, like, in 2055.
You say that, but... You say that as if it's a country that is responsible.
And yeah, I say that as if there wasn't somebody who, from another country, popped up on Dynamite this week. But...
So, she's not as good as Rio, she's not as good as Sheeta.
Mm-hmm.
Is she better than everyone else?
Probably. Former Knockouts Tag Team Champion name, of course.
Of course.
With Rosita as part of Mexican America.
If we include Thunder Rosa, I'd say she's not as good as Thunder Rosa either.
So that would put her fourth.
Yeah.
Serena Deeb?
Fourth.
she.
I think she's better than Deeb.
Hmm.
But they're about even.
So there you go. AEW's women's problems are finally solved.
New ace. And then Big Thomas End can come in.
Yeah.
The real leader of the Dark Order.
No. I hope they just keep adding new leaders to the Dark Order, just to give it some new life. Every, like, six months.
You say keep as if they don't only have one.
Hey, there was technically two.
Who was the other one?
Party Marty Skrull.
He wasn't official. He isn't canon.
Or isn't he? There was an episode of Being the Elite where he was there. Remember that?
Yeah.
Which was, like, right before speaking out, give or take.
It was, like, a couple months.
Give or take.
I suppose in the grander scheme of life, that yeah, he was there right before it.
Big week in the Wednesday War games, Liam.
Yes. The best part of the podcast.
Yes. The PlayStation 5 is out, but not out in Europe next week, so I don't care. The Xbox Series X and S are out. I have an S. Of course, most importantly, Kingdom Hearts Memory of Melody is out, which is basically all I've been playing today.
Ooh. Yakuza Like a Dragon is out.
Oh, yes. It's one of the launch games. I've only bought Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed based on, like, 1 hour impressions of both. I don't really like them. So we'll see how that goes. But
The only next-gen game I've played was the new Call of Duty when it was in beta, and it was bad.
Well, all Call of Duties are the same, so how is any of them bad?
I mean, functionally, like, some of them can be clunky, and this one is very clunky and yucky, and don't like it.
Mm.
I don't like it.
You don't like those Cold War spy themes?
I mean, I don't mind the theme, I just wish it played fun.
See, you gotta play Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory of Melody, whatever the name of that game is. Just listen to Kingdom Hearts music and press buttons. It's great.
I was gonna say, is it a rhythm game?
Yeah, it's basically all of the Yoko Shimomura music from Kingdom Hearts just shoveled into one game, and you press some buttons while you listen to the music. It's great. It's all you ever want.
It's an old-time concept, to be fair.
Because they had a bunch of Final Fantasy rhythm games. They had two of them on the 3DS, which I adored. And actually, a Dragon Quest one that I don't think they brought west. But yeah, finally Kingdom Hearts. About time.
Have you seen anything about Yakuza Like a Dragon?
I know it's an RPG, but I've seen nothing else.
It's an RPG that follows, like, Dragon Quest to a T, because the main character had to, like, playtest Dragon Quest for, like, 10 years or some shit. So he's just a gigantic Dragon Quest fan, and every time, like, another person adds to the party, the Dragon Quest music plays.
How did they get the Dragon Quest music?
I don't know, it's Yakuza.
I thought, heard horror stories about that Dragon Quest music. I can't remember the name of the composer, but they're apparently very strict about it.
It's the little, like, ditty, like the party edition ditty.
Ah, I don't know. I know the main theme, because there was the period where Dragon Quest was coming out on Switch, and also Heroes in Smash. So, like,
yeah, I remember that.
Twice in every Nintendo Direct, you'd hear the... And it's like, oh, another Dragon Quest thing.
My favorite thing was, like, I was watching this video on the Yakuza, and when he got his stats leveled up, there was a stat for magic.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what does the magic stat mean? And then it's, like, practical magic, like you throw crumbs on someone and birds attack them.
That is the kind of magic I can get behind, though.
That's real magic, damn it. The magic of nature.
AEW also had their game reveal this week, Liam. It looks very bad.
Yeah, it's basically a... They are one step above using green and red models.
It was funny to see, like, the reaction on Twitter, where, like, people are very, understandably so, excited about the prospect of an AEW game, and what they showed looked terrible. So we're like,
it's just a proof of concept.
There was, like, this collision between, like, I really want this thing, but it's kind of bad, but I don't really want to talk about how it's kind of bad.
I mean, like you said to me, it's going to come out at the end of next year.
Yeah, this is 2 years away. Not even next end of next year. This is, I would guess, this is like a fall.
Well, I only say that because I think Excalibur said, like, that it's coming out next year.
If it's coming out next year, I'd be deeply worried that that's all they had to show.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, it could get delayed, you know. Mm. But, yeah, it's just weird. It's so weird, man. Excited for it, though, because, you know. More wrestling games are good.
Yeah, and we haven't had a big wrestling game since the... Which came first? AAA? I think AAA was like 2010, wasn't it?
What came first, the AAA or the Impact?
Yeah, but I think one was like... Well, Impact TNA was 2008, but I think AAA came after that. I think AAA was like 2010.
Yeah, I think AAA was after because I remember playing it and comparing it to the Impact game.
Because, yeah, that was the last major non-WWE game we've gotten. That's been a decade.
That was the Fire Pro, I suppose.
Does that count? Like, that's a very different kind of game, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm kind of bummed because, like, I was kind of hoping that, like, because we knew, like, there was a bunch of different wrestling stuff in development, right? We knew that there was an AEW game. We knew that there was, like, a weird Yuke's game. And I was like, oh no, they're the same game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I was kind of hoping for two different games, but hey.
Well, you're getting an AEW casino game, Liam, which is...
Oh, thanks, Cody.
There are people like, oh, that's smart. Those games make lots of money. And like, yes, they make lots of money by usually exploiting people.
Oh, well, I don't care about exploitation.
Their GM
game. I fined you for starting a union. The GM game looks kind of...
It all looked kind of... It looked like a lot of stuff that was shown before it probably should have been shown.
Yeah, but they probably get, like, hassled about the game stuff, like, every day.
Yeah, but it's actually funny they were doing a... Because the entire thing was a BTE skit that had one gag. They were dressed as Steve Jobs, which was a good visual gag, and then had nothing else, and it went 40 minutes long. But...
But to be fair, the bit is that they just kept doing it, and I appreciate... Actually, my favorite gag from the night was just them all mentioning Tony, and, like, how when they started the when they came to the company, they had a meeting with Tony, and then Cody goes on his final one, and when I was talking to Tony Khan, I don't know if he's been mentioned tonight, I thought that was, like, the one bit that really got me.
Is being the elite humor.
Hell yeah, baby.
Yeah, and then they revealed a bunch of stuff. But, like, their biggest satire of a video game press conference, aside from talking about how people are working 24/7 around the clock in their game, which, don't do that, but was that they showed things that probably weren't ready to be shown.
I like the opening bit where Kenny's like, here we go, this is it. And it's like, it didn't test well. All right, we're going to be honest.
Legit, if they made, like, something that just looked like No Mercy, that just looked like an N64 game, I'd probably be happier. It's this weird in-between where it, like, it tries to kind of cling to some of that style while also trying to be, like, a modern 2020-looking game. And it's at the moment, it just sits in this weird in-between where everyone kind of looks like action figures.
I think that's the point, though. It's kind of meant to be going action figure-y.
But that doesn't look particularly good.
I don't know. It's also going to look way different in 2 years.
Will it, though?
I think it will.
I hope so.
I think these are very base, like, models. I don't think these are the final models that you're going to see in the game.
Why are you showing it off?
I don't know, because they decided to announce the game.
They already kind of announced the game. They said it's in development.
Because every time they do make an announcement on Twitter, everyone goes, it's a game, it's a game, it's a game.
That's we'll actually talk about this more later. It's obviously, it feeds into AEW's broader expectations management issue.
Oh, they were perfectly managed. Anyone who thought it wasn't Park is a dumb idiot.
Yes, but the problem is, a lot of people thought it wasn't Park.
Yeah, they're dumb idiots. I have no simpy.
No, because there will be people who will be like, oh, you shouldn't expect anything out of wrestling like this. And that's like broken brain WWE nonsense.
I'm not saying don't expect anything. That was a perfectly reasonable thing to happen for what expectations that were set.
No, he said it will change the balance of power in wrestling. The guy
he
that was on the show...
his company.
No, he said wrestling. Not AEW, not my show. He said the word wrestling. He said it will change
Shuck
the balance
and pack
of the
a back,
power.
Baby. Don't you worry.
In all of wrestling, and people took that to mean something important. Not the guy that was on the show last week also being on the show this week in
that
a larger capacity.
Count. I mean, I agree that, like, that kind of, you know, it's not as... I don't like... I've done that multiple times where they've done a video and then the next week the guy comes back. Just have the guy come back. But I think it was perfectly reasonable.
No, and it was... Because, no, it didn't work. No! Just look what happened. Instead of people talking about the really... goddamn awesome Bunkhouse Brawl, or instead of people talking about the return of Pac, Thursday morning was full of people being like, what was their big announcement? Oh, the guy who was on the show last week.
To be fair, you're talking about like 5,000 tweets.
Yeah.
But that's because that's in our purview. Everyone's like, oh man, everyone thought this way, but really there was like 600,000 people that were like, oh cool, Pac's back. But I didn't feel the compelling need to run to Twitter and talk about it.
Hey, 600,000 people is the NXT audience. Let's not pretend that's a lot of people. It's just one of those like,
high five.
There is a thing, like, this is a thing that people ridicule Dixie Carter for years, and still do to this day, but Tony Khan does literally the exact same thing, and people, like, hurl themselves over in his path to defend him. I'm like, alright, guys.
You know, I never ridiculed Dixie. Never once in my life.
Yeah, it's just one of those, like, small... set expectations. Just think about what you're saying. Words matter. People...
I don't know, man.
They're wrestling fans.
I don't have a problem with anything he said.
They will read it. You said it'll change the balance of power in wrestling.
Yeah, and it will.
No, it won't.
Pac's the biggest star in the company, baby.
He was a guy that's been on the show for over a year, and had been on the show last week.
You know that the videos aren't the same thing. Being on a video isn't the same thing as actually returning.
Yes.
Like, I get, like, it reduces the impact, but it's not the same. You can't count that as the same thing.
But it doesn't change the balance of power in wrestling.
Yeah, that's Shaq, baby.
We'll talk about that later. We might as well get into these dumb shows. Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and NXT.
Who is Michael Jordan?
I did a very good bit. Liam was like, I can't believe these people don't know who Michael Jordan is. And I was like, oh, it's the actor from Creed. And Liam no-sold that bit completely.
Yeah, because, oh my god, they have the same name. What an unusual observation you have.
It was a funny bit. And Liam was like, blah, blah, I ignore your funny bits.
Nobody's ever done it in their life.
We talk about AEW and NXT. And this one's NXT, lost last week, so we're going to talk about AEW. It opened Cage Seidel promo, Cage 1.
Should we talk about...
Slammiversary rematch.
Wait, should we talk about the pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah. AEW, what was the name of the show? Full Gear, as I pull up the card in front of me so I remember what the hell was on the show. People said this was a very good show. I think that overstates it. I thought this had two very good matches, which was Hangman Page and Kenny Omega and the Bucks and FTR. But I would classify neither of those as great matches. I thought both were very good matches. And then the rest of the card for me was like a bunch of like decent mid-card matches. So I would say a good show, not a great show.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. FTR and Bucks was like a low end match of the year candidate for me.
Flat four.
I liked 4.5. I liked Hangman and Kenny.
Also was, flat four.
Know, I think I went like 4.25 or 4. Yeah. But I was kind of disappointed by it, I guess.
It felt very much to me like the first match in two guys knowing that we're going to have like 7 other matches. So this is the entry level.
Yes, but also Kenny and Okada had several other matches and they were all like 5-star minimum.
Yeah, but Okada's not Hangman Page.
Yeah, damn right he isn't. He's worse.
Wow.
He's washed. And Mox Kingston I liked a lot. I think I liked probably more than you. I mean, I also only went like 4 stars on it, but I enjoyed the intensity and it was different, I suppose. We obviously had some weird disconnect where I thought Jericho and MJF was completely carried by the crowd and you thought the crowd was dead for it. So
I thought they were so dead for it. Like, they were super into the Judas and then silence. The only thing they reacted for was like the Eddie Guerrero chair spot at the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, I thought Jericho looked terrible. Terrible in that match.
Yeah, he's had a rough week, all right?
Because, like you know, usually I'll bury MJF, but he was doing his best. Jericho was so slow.
Did he hit 50 and immediately, like, just stop knowing how to wrestle?
Hey, he was still 49 when he did this match, so he has no excuse.
Oh, damn, no excuse. He was still in the key demo.
Now he's irrelevant.
That's why they're replacing him with MJF.
I thought Darby and Cody was, again, a good match, not a great match.
Yeah, some people went way higher on the Darby-Cody match than I did.
Dave Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars, and I was like, oh, Dave.
I saw people giving it 4.5. I was like, I didn't think that was the only match of the year.
Flat three! The Elite Deletion was proof that they're thoroughly out of ideas for those things.
I mean, I just hope it's the last one. Because, like, Matt, you got to wrap up all of your Impact stories now. They're very cool. Can we move on from this now?
Because, like, if you watch the Impact ones, by the time they got around to Apocalypto and Total Nonstop Deletion, they were running out of ideas.
Yeah, the tag team one was like, okay, come on, lads.
Just let it go, guys. This thing has thoroughly jumped the shark. Well, not thoroughly, but they began the leap over the shark.
It was at the bridge just before thoroughly jumping the shark.
Yeah, and that, I think this...
It was the ramp.
This is the point where it's thoroughly... It's like, everything in this... If you watched any of these other matches, you've seen it before. And cool, but can we all move on now?
Yeah. And I liked Silver and Orange a lot, but that was a mid-card match.
Yeah, that was, again, a perfectly acceptable mid-card match.
It was just nice to see Silver on a big stage. Mm-hmm. Get an actual shot at doing something.
And then Shida beat Rose to retain the women's title.
In, like, their worst match.
By a long shot. Nyla Rose's kickouts looked so bad. Like, they look just so bad. It's one of those weird things when you just notice a thing like that. And it's like, why does that look so bad?
The one spot that really stuck out with me from that match, besides the bad Vicky Guerrero leg sweep.
Oh. Actually, no, before you go into that, because you mentioned it. Do you know what I hated most about the Vicky Guerrero leg sweep?
Is the, have I tried to sell it on commentary?
Sure. But, because it happened after Shida pulled Nyla up and looked like she was, like, going to be, like, super badass killer murderer. And then they did the shitty interference spot and Vicky with her leg sweep, and I'm like, all right, I don't care.
It looked really, like, shindy.
Mm.
Like, I think even, like, Vicky right now just has a very shindy aura.
Like, we talked about this on the show, but, like, Nyla doesn't need a manager. She can talk.
No. Yeah. She's also, like, one of the better talkers.
Yeah, she cut one of the better promos on Dynamite, whenever that was. I have no concept of time anymore.
Like, 6 months ago.
It was...
Actually, probably more than six. It was, like, 12.
I think it was, like, February-ish, but I really couldn't tell you.
But, yeah, I really liked the Nyla doing the flying knee onto the legs.
Mm.
That was a good touch. Like, I like the kind of stuff when people can... It's good to have moves that you can just swap to different body parts when you're doing that kind of match.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, all in all, I thought it was a pretty good card.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of my... I think I was still thinking it was like top 5, top 3 because it's only been like 11.
Yeah, you were like, oh, top 5 AEW show, and then I was like, that means it's not even in the top half. And then I checked and there's been 9. It's like, it's not in the top half.
But I think my problem is I also include like the TV pay-per-views in that when I'm like thinking of them. It's gonna be hard to like start judging those TV shows in comparison, because like they are just basically like mini pay-per-views. They're the B shows, right? And it's like, if I got a cage match, it's not going to show the Dynamite B shows that were actual fake pay-per-views as well.
Yeah.
We're in a weird era where we're going to have to start, like, Strigger, add, like, a TV pay-per-view thing to the cage match, please.
Or, like, okay, there's pay-per-view TV and, like,
branded TV.
Branded TV,
yeah.
For...
Brandy TV.
Because, like, NXT Impact and... Well, Impact aren't doing them at the moment because the Impact Plus shows have replaced them, but before now... NXT Impact and AEW are all doing them, so it's not like they're just one company doing
them. Damn, Impact truly trendsetters in every facet of the business.
Hey, Impact was the first company to kick it down to 4 pay-per-views a year, which I actually think was a mistake, and AEW is still doing it, but sure.
They should go 6.
It should, minimum 6. All right, back to Dynamite.
They should do 24.
Yeah, sure, 1 every 2 weeks. Why not? They already did that for a while.
Yeah, and it ruled...
Brian Cage defeated Matt Sydal in a rematch from SummerSlam 2018, which actually, if you watch the match, there's a ton of spots in that match. And I was like, because I watched it during the week to Sassily tweeted, and I was like, oh, look, they're doing all the spots from the match. Isn't that funny? But good match.
Yeah. Matt didn't die as much in this match as he did on the Impact match.
Yes, and when he did that shooting star and landed feet first in the ropes and nearly died, I was like, oh, no, Matt.
They're really, like, teasing Matt, huh? He almost dies in his debut, and they're like, ah, do it again.
Yeah, I like this match. I think Matt Sydal is a very good wrestler to have in a role like this, where Matt Sydal will have a good match. He's like just a younger Daniels, where like he can have a good match with anybody. You can give him like a mini push to a TNT title level if you really wanna, and that's a good role. That's a good wrestler to have.
He also like still has some sort of like name value credibility, I feel.
Yeah.
So if you chuck him on a Dynamite, it does feel like a big match.
Yeah, when you announce Brian Cage and Matt Sydal, that's like, oh, you know, your ears perk up, of course, because of the Slammiversary 2018 rematch. But other than that, just because it's an interesting matchup.
They should have made this for the FTW title, Hoss Fight.
That's coming with our pal Will Hobbs.
How do you feel?
Not great.
How do you feel? Yes. Please tell me. I need to know. How do you feel about Matt switching more to the technical style of wrestling? I think because he hasn't really had a chance to do it on Dynamite, I feel, because he's always the smaller man in his Dynamite matches.
Mm.
But on Dark, very much so, he's like basically like doing a Zack Sabre gimmick.
He was doing that toward the end of his Impact run as well, where he had like transitioned out of the high fly, because he was a heel at the time as well, so he transitioned out of doing like the flips and stuff. Well, this is because half the time he seems to kill himself in a shooting star these days. So and he started doing like, he had a submission finish as well for a while.
Yeah, he does like a Cobra clutch leg deal.
Yeah.
Now. I think they're gonna team him up with TH2. I think that's going to be the thing, which I imagine means that we're back on the track to do the Trios titles. Because wasn't it like, didn't that come out that was like explicitly actually planned?
I think, did he mention it at some stage? They should do them, that makes sense.
I think the plan was to do them at the Jericho Cruise.
Especially because like, you've now established another 2-3 trios in the main event of this show, I would imagine, so.
Yeah, that could be your first Trios title match if you want to make it a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you like, I don't think that... I think Penta is sticking with Eddie.
I think they'll do Death Triangle against Eddie and Butcher and Blade.
I don't know. I think you should split Penta and Phoenix. And then you could just have Archer take Penta's role in that feud. Not, like, permanently, but...
I kind of like the idea of, like, Kingston constantly calling Penta his best friend, but it's just complete bullshit.
I don't want to skip to the main event yet, so we'll...
All right, we'll go to Cody. Cody comes out. He's interrupted by Jake.
This is a weird promo, bro.
Yeah, he seems to set up pivoting back to MJF before he's interrupted by Jade Cargill, who cuts...
You're a big Jade Cargill fan?
I don't watch Dark, so I haven't seen her. She's been standing in the crowd for a
Dark?
While.
I don't remember her being on Dark.
She's been in the crowd for a while or something, hasn't she? People have said that.
Yeah, she's been in the crowd. I don't think she's wrestled.
So, yeah, she cut a promo. It was...
She got a good look.
It was a promo.
Jacked to the gills.
Shaq is an inherently problematic name because you can't say Shaq with any degree of like drama or emphasis.
Shaq.
You can't go like Shaq. It doesn't
also
work.
Because the last thing that like Shaq attached his name to is the Shaqaroni pizza.
Well, they should promote it on AEW.
Cody should eat it and go, this tastes like shit.
Yeah, so she announces that Shaq is coming to AEW. He's coming for Cody, I guess.
The thing is, right?
Uh-huh.
Celebrity things are dumb.
Yes.
But...
Go back and listen to the episode where Mike Tyson showed up for us to discuss that in a lot more depth.
Yeah. Or with Pat McAfee. Which I think was actually us going even more in-depth into it.
Mm.
Shaq's... Like, it's stupid, right? But it's immensely hilarious to me that AEW gets to do the thing WWE has been trying to do for, like, 7 years.
Surely WWE just didn't pull the trigger, right? I can't imagine Shaq has been turning them down.
But to be fair, like, I think Shaq probably didn't have a reason to do it before, you know what I mean?
But, like...
Like, either he was playing at the time, or they probably... Like, in the last few years, I don't know. That's the last 3 or 4 years after we stopped playing. That's when I don't know. But up until then, it was probably because he was playing. Now he has a reason. It's the sister company to his own show. But I just, yeah. There was like a 3-year span where I don't know why they didn't do it if they wanted to do it.
But like, the thing is, the match they were going to do was Shaq and Big Show. And they seemed to tease it like a million times.
Yeah. The only thing I can imagine it being is they could get Shaq in for, like, one show every time, but they couldn't get him committed to do, like, training or anything.
So it's a bit like that wonderful Mike Tyson segment we had on AEW earlier this year that's definitely going somewhere.
But to be fair, I think they were planning to do stuff with that, and then it's just like, ah, Tyson's a weird cat.
Yeah. Then we had the Brandi Rhodes part of this segment, Liam.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed seeing Brandi speak with passion, but... I don't know, man. I got like a pit in my stomach watching it. It was weird.
Who is she as a character? That's like legitimately, she's a different person on screen every single week.
Yeah.
Like she's a face, she's a heel, she's this weird like self-absorbed
she's
person.
A voodoo.
She's a voodoo queen, she's a general manager, she's Cody's good girl wife, she's Cody's
Stephanie.
Sassy bad girl wife. She's like literally all of these characters, and she veers between them on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because she's
I
a great like performer. Brandi. She's a really good performer, and like her
she's
character.
She's a great manager.
Who's not managing
every
anybody.
Every other role that she's... Well, she manages Cody on and off. Like, she has managed Cody, so I can make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, I don't know, everything, every other role in, I don't like her. Like, I don't think she's particularly likable. So when she's a babyface, you can't really get behind her. She's not good in ring, so if she's wrestling, you don't like her. I don't want Brandi on this fucking show, and it seems so forced, especially when she's the only woman in like the last year of Dynamite that's been on 2 segments in a show.
And she's one of the few women that gets a chance to speak.
Yeah, I'm sick of this Brandi shit, man.
Yeah, but we're going toward. Oh no, after the match, Team Taz attacked Cody, Darby made the save. And Will Hobbs.
Yeah. Taz cut a good promo on this show, too.
Taz always cuts good promos.
I really liked his promo at Full Gear.
John Moxley cut a promo. I have no idea what he said because they did the weird thing where they echoed the building audio at the same time. And I was like,
every fucking week, just mute the house mics.
It's insane to me that this is still like legit. There's some weeks where it's fine, well, where they're doing it, but you can understand. I have no idea what Moxley said here. Like, you couldn't actually hear him.
He went, brother.
Do it.
Nah, you got a brother. That's the closest you're gonna get.
I'm sure he's talking about Kenny or something. I don't know. Natural Nightmares defeated the Butcher and the Blade.
I think he put over Kingston, actually.
Good job, King. You did it. Bunkhouse match. This ruled.
This match ruled.
This match was great.
I watched it the first time and was kind of half paying attention because it was a bunkhouse match between the Butcher and the Blade and the Natural Nightmares. But I went back and rewatched it after because when I paid attention and looked up, the Blade was pissing out blood and I was like, I feel like I've missed something.
Which actually, I do reject. It was a guitar shot that caused him to bleed so much. And I've watched enough TNA. I've seen hundreds of guitar shots. I do not take them as credible busting open moves. Jeff Jarrett has ruined it for me forever.
They're only a credible busting move when it's not a gimmicked guitar.
Yeah, this match, this is awesome. Like, Blade bled the hell out of, like, the one of the biggest, this, actually no, the Cody and Dustin match had probably had more blood. So it's not the biggest gusher in AEW history. So it's the second biggest gusher in AEW history. The
biggest gusher on Dynamite.
Sure is. This thing being on freaking TV. This was mostly in the first hour as well, so.
I gotta admit, this was the first time where I was like, maybe they do blood too much.
Hey, this is important blood feud.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like, I don't mind blood, and I don't even mind blood on Dynamite. But I was like, it's a Natural Nightmares.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Butcher and Blade match. Did this, but it made me think about it, I suppose. It stuck in my mind.
It's a very important feud over Ali maxing out some credit cards, and they have to kill each other.
He bought a car.
Yeah, this match was awesome. They beat the shit out of each other.
QT was really good in this match. The man can throw a cutter.
His elbow drop off the ladder was sweet.
Man can throw a cutter like no one else at the moment. I'll tell you that. The one where he wrapped the chain around the butcher and dragged him into it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite move of the match, I think.
Smash ruled. This might be one of the better matches on Dynamite this year.
Yeah. And it was funny. I think we give Dustin a lot of credit, and deservedly so, you know. But QT was the one that really stood out to me in this match.
And if you remember, Liam, on last week's episode, you were like, I like QT Marshall. And I'm like, nah, I'm over QT Marshall. And now QT Marshall has won me back.
Fuck yes. But does that mean they're going to get a title match against the Bucks?
Sure, probably. That would make sense.
Have the Bucks faced the Natural Nightmares?
I know they faced Kenny and Paige. I don't think they faced the Bucks.
Well, there you go, because they talked about wanting to face new tag teams and stuff, so maybe we'll get a Bucks Nightmares match. Oh, the Natural Nightmares should beat them.
For the belts?
Yeah. That's what I wanted them to do with Top Flight. I wanted them to have put the belts on the line against Top Flight, and then Top Flight to just upset them. They have this giant redemption arc against FTR. They finally get the belts, they get all cocky about it, new tough guys out, and then they just drop the belts immediately to the unknown dark tag team.
Seems like something that may have happened on this week's episode of NXT, Liam.
Yeah, but better.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
It's actually just the young team were too much for them or something, you know. They were just young, especially if Matt's hurt. You can really, god damn it, just do it. It's so much cooler. And then you could have FTR mocking them. Then you could have Top Flight run away in FTR's car.
The Jeep they showed up to when they debuted.
Yeah, there you go. You're just Top Flight running to the Jeep.
It all comes together.
If they did do that, that would definitely be a BTE segment.
We had the MJF induction into the Inner Circle.
This was, I don't think this was bad necessarily, but it didn't achieve anything.
They just talked.
Normally when they do these Inner Circle segments, at least they set up something with them. This was just nothing.
They're going to, the development here happened backstage with Sammy afterward.
Yeah, and I think that was a better segment.
And the only thing I liked about this was the balloons got blown away.
Directly into the river.
Yeah, good job. Way to waste money on balloons. Polluting the earth.
I'm legitimately over balloons in general. I just, unless it's in like an enclosed environment, you shouldn't use balloons.
Balloons are for you, like just, cars are for me.
Yeah, well, like I just mean from like, you know, an environmental standpoint.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. People who like use balloons for gender reveal parties. It's like, please stop. Like some bird's just gonna eat that and die.
Yeah, this Jericho MJF stuff. I thought the match stunk at Full Gear. This stuff isn't any better. So. We march on.
Do you want to just talk about the Sammy segment?
Yeah, while we're doing this, I did like the Sammy. I want something here. I want some meat in the bone, something to bite into, as opposed to them just cutting promos. And the Sammy who was sent to the beach apparently, and then shows up. Though to be fair, he got freaking decapitated with Concerto and killed and dumped in the woods on the freaking Elite Deletion, and now he's just back on Dynamite and he's fine. But sure.
Well, I do at least like that Jericho acknowledged that while in the ring. He's like, he got out of the hospital like 2 days ago. So at least there was some reference to it. This is the one ever like good bit of MJF like acting that wasn't like overstated or like university level.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he went up to Sam and he's like, I really did send you the email. I thought he delivered that line really well.
Meh.
Like it came across as sincere, which is like weird for an MJF thing. But yeah, that's the one credit I'll give them. I hope this ends in like a Sammy Wardlow match. That'd be sick.
Or the Sammy Wardlow tag team.
Ooh, yeah, with Jericho as their manager and never wrestling.
Ever again.
Ever.
Young Bucks are backstage with a very excited Alex Marvez. They're going to face Top Flight next week.
Like how he flinched when they opened the door.
Yeah. They're back to full baby faces now, and they're like, we're sorry, we super kicked you.
Which is like, not a baby face thing.
No, not like, particularly.
We were dicks until we got our way, and now that we got our way, we're cool again.
These are good guys, Liam.
I love my EVPs.
They will face Top Flight next week.
Kenny's the only EVP that's my EVP.
Scorpio Sky was defeated by Sean Spears.
I was like fine with this match, but I really wanted Scorpio to win.
I quite enjoy when I don't watch Dark, of course, because I'm a normal person. And when the Dark division spills onto Dynamite and you get stats like, Sean Spears is undefeated in his last 11 matches. And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah. None of the Sean Spears matches have been good, if you're questioning that.
I did not need that clarification.
But like, oh man. I like Scorpio Sky. He's like one of those guys like we were talking about with Wardlow and even like the Lucha Bros to a certain extent where it's like, are you just going to wait too long to like do anything with him and it's just going to pass?
I think it kind of already has, hasn't it?
I just want a Scorpio Sky match with like Nick or Phoenix. I just want to see him, put him in there with a good wrestler.
Because like he had the match with Jericho after beating Jericho.
Jericho, Cody, and Spears.
Yeah, he lost to Jericho. He lost to Cody.
Can you put him in there with like an athletic guy who can do cool shit with him?
But then he also lost to Spears. He's losing all these matches too.
Yeah. I want something. I think there's something with Sky. You just gotta try.
And have him wrestle good wrestlers. That's always usually a good start.
Yeah, well, have him wrestle Park.
Dasher Gonzalez tried to interview Kenny, but Kenny left before Alex Marvez, with his lightning speed, caught up with him.
I really like that JR's like, Oh, wait, Alex is on the case.
Alex clearly a more diligent interviewer than Dasha. Chasing down the interviews.
This Kenny promo was great.
I did quite like this Kenny promo, where he's like smug, but he
never lost.
He plays like smugly condescending in a way that's sort of likable, but you're meant to not like. And like he hits that tone so perfectly.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what Will's going for in New Japan when he's trying to do his Kenny character.
Very bad.
His Kenny Flair character. But like, yeah, it's good stuff. You know, he considers them 0-0. It was unsanctioned. It doesn't count. It's not on the record. You know, had all these 7-6-5 star matches. And he's a Hall of Famer, baby.
He is a Hall of Famer. Congratulations to Kenny Omega. Congratulations to Jun Akiyama.
Like, not to contribute to the discourse, but like he's a slam dunk Hall of Famer. Like he is, like based on what he's done already.
I just find it very funny that Kenny Omega was inducted into the Hall of Fame and Roman Reigns Roman Reigns didn't have enough votes to stay on the ballot next year.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Roman has any case.
He doesn't, but it's a quite fun contrast.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Roman will probably get on there eventually, you know, but he hasn't even started doing the best work of his career.
He'll never do the best work of his career. He's done.
He'll never get the opportunity.
No, he's on the downslope of his career, which is a sad fact about modern WWE. Mm.
Well, you can say that anyone who signs there is on the downslope of their career.
That's very true. Tay Conti defeated Red Velvet after some Dark Order chicanery.
Yeah. Red Velvet's pretty bad.
Yeah, Anna Jay offered a chair, but Tay Conti didn't use it, but then won anyway. So great.
So, all right, Garrett, back to our favorite game.
Uh-huh.
Is this mediocre wrestler one of the top five women in the company?
Oh, Tay Conti?
Tay Conti.
She's worse than Serena Deeb. She's worse than Thunder Rosa. If we're still including Riho, she's worse than Riho and Shida.
Is she the fifth? Is she better than Nyla Rose?
That's literally the first thing I went through next in my head. Is she better than Nyla? Is she better than Penelope Ford? She's probably not better than Allie. I don't understand why this company isn't using Allie.
She is the bunny.
Because if you go back and watch Allie on Impact, she's not the, like, blow your socks off best wrestler in the world.
She had that really good match with Taya.
Yeah, she had good matches with pretty much everybody. She was rock solid.
In that, like, really highly touted Impact pay-per-view that, like, everyone was like, oh my god, like, this pay-per-view was, like, legitimately one of the best of the year, she fucking held her own on that show.
Yeah, it was her and Tessa. Slammiversary 2018, which featured Brian Cage against Matt Sydal. We're coming back to Slammiversary 2018 a lot today. But yeah, she's a really good wrestler, and I don't understand why this company has, like, stuck her in a valet spot the entire time.
I do wonder if she probably... like, much like Leva Bates, has some sort of backstage role. That wouldn't surprise me because she was signed so early on.
She took a table bump today. Or, well, today. Yeah. On this show.
And they missed it.
They did miss it. Poor Allie. Took a table bump for nothing.
But, yeah, I wonder if she also has some backstage role.
And, like, if you watch her Impact work, she played pretty much every single role imaginable in Impact and did it very well. Why aren't you using this woman?
She also helped Rosemary become the Impact ace for a solid 2 years.
Yeah, and I miss that relationship because they were awesome together.
Yeah. I was going to say I miss Rosemary. But, like, what I meant to say was, like, I miss, like, when Rosemary felt like the biggest, like, deal in women's wrestling.
Yeah, Rosemary's great.
Yeah, shout out Rosemary. Shout out the Marilyn Manson theme.
The actual update is actually pretty good. The knockoff.
I'm not sure if I even... like, I probably heard it, but I don't know if it's registered in my head.
You should listen to it after the show. It's on YouTube.
I might. But yeah, Tay Conti.
Yes, she won.
Has a lot of potential. It's still very funny to me that she was, like, the first jump of the Wednesday Night Wars.
Well, she wasn't. She got released, but yes.
But you know what I mean? Like, the first gone from one, picked up by the other.
Yep.
But I understand why, because, you know, she screams potential. The question is, will she be able to get enough reps in to reach that potential in a company that only will have her wrestle once every 2 weeks?
Which is a question we've been asking for a year now, and the pandemic has made it even harder, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, like, the whole plan was to let them all do indies, so... But, I don't know. Let's get, to... You know, the other day, I was thinking of, like, what would the fun AEW acronym be for their developmental?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how they take out all of the... whatever's to make the word. And I was like, what would Futures be? And then I remembered that Future would just be FTR.
I think we've had this discussion on the show.
To be fair, it was probably 3 years ago at this point.
It all comes together.
In the wrestling chronologically. Oh my god. Chronology? Oh, say the word for me, please.
I think you were right the first time.
Oh, cool.
Chronology.
I'm right. Never wrong.
Pentagon defeated Phoenix in our main event.
This is one of my least favorite matches that they've had together.
I think it was a good match.
I just didn't think it was anything really special. Like, they just move, nothing, then a bit of a move, and it's kind of boring.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it's anything. I thought, so give it stars, Liam, flat three. It's a good match.
Yeah, but, like, a flat three for Phoenix Pentagon is insane.
Yeah, but, like, people raved about their last match as well, and, like, I understand why the last, like, half of it was mediocre, because the dude got, like, his bell rung, but it wasn't a great match because the dude got his bell rung.
But I still think, like, that match was way better than this one.
They need to do the flippy powerbomb spot. That's the difference maker.
But I liked the finish of this match a lot, with Pedro just murdering him with three power drivers.
Kingston cut a promo. He was interrupted by the returning Pac. They had to pull apart, and the show came to a close.
Yeah, it was nice. Pac got, like, a legit pop, which is fun.
Yeah, he looks super jacked. Shock of all shocks.
Pac is jacked.
This show, I think, has missed him.
Hey, Hey, Garrett, mm-hmm. I've got a great bit of wordplay for you. Pack is back.
Whoa, how'd you think of that?
I don't know, it just came off the dome.
You are a wordsmith, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank God he's back.
Yeah.
Like, this show has sorely missed him.
And, like, he's such a convincing performer that, again, they'll put MJF after him every week just so I can draw the comparison now. He's the new Kingston that they'll put MJF segments after Pac segments. So I'll be like, look at the guy who you believe and look at the guy who's play acting. But you believe this dude. Every single mannerism, every look in his face, every promo, every movement, everything he does, you believe. He's such a good wrestler.
The thing is, the only problem I have with this angle is I wish they had let them get a little physical.
I didn't like the pull apart in general. I thought the pull apart was a little lame.
I think you can do the pull apart, but like Pac comes in with all this force of fire, and then he doesn't even get to throw a kick at anyone or anything. Like, I thought that was kind of dumb.
Because it's weird. Like, the referees got between them before he even got to the ring, which
Which I guess is like the implication being like they knew shit was gonna go down, so they're like, ah, fuck, send him out. But I don't know. I just wish he could have like rolled around or something, and like Phoenix picks Pac off of him, and Penta picks of Kingston off of him, and then they swarm or something.
I do have to say, though, the only role I don't buy Pac in as a wrestler who changes the balance of power in the entire industry.
And that was Shaq.
Oh, sorry. That I do believe.
Mm. Shaq is back.
Oh, that's rhyming.
Boom. Boom.
AEW, good show.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Oh, we didn't talk about the best part of this show, Garrett.
What?
Oh, new graphics.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I liked it. I liked the new intro, where they're all standing in front of the lights. Thought it looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
Liked all the graphics. Thought that looked cool. Yeah, good stuff. I like their little screen transition that they spent time animating, where the rectangle around AEW just goes small and then big.
Their new match graphics certainly have a clear inspiration. Look closely. Yeah.
I mean, they're not nice, but...
Welcome to things Garrett's going to edit out of the show.
No, leave it in. Why is that? That's not bad.
Calling them out for ripping off Impact's general graphic design. The only thing they don't have is the names being sideward.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not bad, though. I think it just... To be fair, Impact's graphics are, like, little pieces of, like, graphic design art.
Yes, they're far and away
like,
the best
in the world. Like, they're that good. Like, every time one gets posted by their excellent social media manager, I just, like, stare at it and I go, that's some good art.
Shout out to Dan and shout out to Basil, who takes the photos.
Wonderfully, him in Basil Brush.
Wonderfully talented people. NXT.
I knew that Basil Brush joke would get you.
All right, I have to complain about this. I heard that Leon Ruff defeated Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship. And I really liked the idea of that angle. And then I watched it, and I really hated the execution of that angle. And I'm so mad when they immediately turned it into a joke. When the freaking belt fell around his ankles, and when he ran away, and when it's clear, this guy's a goof. This guy is not to be taken seriously. This is not an elevation of Leon Ruff. He is just a cartoon
Colin
character.
Colin Delaney pinned someone.
Yeah, it's all that stuff. He's the nerd who shouldn't be champion, doesn't deserve to be champion.
That's what I'm saying, like, with the top flight stuff. They should win, but it shouldn't be, haha, look, they won. It should be, wow, look at that upset.
Yeah, it's the biggest upset in NXT history. Oh, look, the belts around his ankles. The freaking.
Well, the thing is, like, I think the match was done really well. I think Leon really killed it in the match. All of his stuff looked so crisp and so sick.
And Johnny was great. And Johnny was, like, the perfect slimy heel who's getting his comeuppance. And I loved everything about. And then all of the post-match
happened.
It was
happened. The angle.
Yeah,
it was
so
just the
deflated.
Angle. The match itself was really good.
And I'll have another mild critique. He should have done about 2 weeks of squashes with the spinning of the wheel and then done this, but to establish the angle established. Because they did the typical NXT
thing. The whole point was that he lost it on his first defense, to be fair.
But they did the typical NXT thing where they introduced the wheel, he has the wheel, oh, he ate the wheel, oh, he lost the belt. Like, they did like a month's worth of angles at once. He should have beaten some nerds, and then it's like, oh, it's another nerd, and then he loses, and it's the big shock, it's the big upset.
Well, that's the whole point of the angle, was that he always loses on his first defense, though. You can't do that if he gets two defenses with the wheel first.
Yeah, I saw the Leon Ruff, and I was like, oh, I really like that idea. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh no, why did you have to go and ruin it?
Mm. But yeah, Leon Ruff looked really good.
But no, he's a goof. He's a clown. He's a cartoon. He's a nerd. He's a dork.
Dope.
Dope. I ran out of words.
Doofus.
Munchkin.
Curmudgeon.
That's me.
Yeah.
I liked his wheel. I do like Johnny Gargano hates wheels. Then a wheel helped him not one. Then his hubris made him love wheels too much, and the wheel betrayed him once again.
The wheel that he rigged.
The wheel that he rigged has screwed him over.
I really wish it, like, somehow something malfunctioned and it just went on Chopper. And they're like, fuck. Mm. Send Chopper out.
Because this is live.
Go 40 minutes.
After the match, Ruff got backstage. Damian Priest gave him the keys to his car, which I hope he just stole.
Damian Priest is a real cool guy.
He really is.
Take my car, buddy.
He's the coolest guy on the show.
He is. Like, I love Damian Priest. Like, you know, Aleister Black who fucks. Oh no, will Aleister Black be able to fuck anymore?
Oh, they're separated, unless he leaves.
They're separated, so then, like, Damian Priest suddenly, like, morphs and is uncool. It's very weird. It's like anything that happens to Aleister Black affects his clones.
It's the way the NXT storytelling works.
Wow.
We go back to the NXT car park, where we're shown that...
No, wait, first we go to the ring, and Santos Escobar's like, ha, couldn't be me.
Yeah.
He literally looks at the screen, points at it, and goes, nah, not gonna be me. I was like, that's hilarious. Good work.
Jake Atlas jumped, was it Wilder Mendoza? One of them. The one he didn't jump last
time. Mendoza the second time.
So yeah, both of them are hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his match.
But they looked fine when they were just wearing, the suits at the ringside. I was like, he didn't even take them out. They're just next to him helping. Still.
Yeah, they're just still there. And yeah, then Jake Atlas just lost.
Yeah. Jake Atlas is dumb. I think, like, just have Jake join them now. That's all you can do, really.
Sure. Actually, Jake Atlas's theme song sounds very similar to the OG's theme song in TN Impact. And I was like, is it the same song? It's not the same song, but it has the same artist on it. So it's like, my ear has not betrayed me.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I heard it. It's like, that sounds similar. And I was like, is that the OG's? No, it's just the same person is involved in both themes.
The OGs.
Shotzi, she's coming for Candace.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's really hypocritical of Shotzi to get mad at her, like, crushing the tank. Because she crushed so many people's stuff with the tank. She had an actual tank at one point and crushed cars.
Yeah. I found it... There's the line in this promo, she was like, oh, members of her family are in the military, that's what the tank represents. And then Beth Phoenix on commentary.
Oh, it was so bad,
bro. Where she was like, and this is especially bad today on Veterans Day. She must feel so bad. It's like, oh, really?
It's so forced and gross.
Though I will say, they did the typical, like, hoorah Veterans Day intro, and they included Space Force!
USA, USA, USA.
Raquel Gonzalez came out. Xia Li was meant to come out too, but Boa came out instead.
And was like, I'm so sorry, she's dead.
Yeah, she's been killed off by whatever people were kidnapping her family. Before Gonzalez beat up Boa, then some dude came out and, like, marked Boa with, like, characters on his hand, and Boa looked in great distress at this development.
This is weird, man.
What is...
Like, what's the payoff? Like, the payoff is obviously that, like, you know, some big Chinese figure is gonna beat it, but, like, who could that be?
Does it need to be Chinese?
I mean, unless they're racist.
Would you put it past WWE to just have a Japanese person join them?
Dude, I don't know. There was a moment where I was like, as he was leaving, I was like, this feels very Japanese. And I was like, but it shouldn't be.
It's going to be Shinsuke.
It's going to be the Great Muta.
It's going to be Jiro.
It's going to be... Oh my god, what if it's Jiro doing like a serious gimmick? He's in Florida.
This is his big debut. He still has the jacket, though.
He still does the full, like, dopey entrance, yeah. But he's, like, serious.
He's like some crime family head. Well, Kushida's busy wearing jeans.
Who could it be?
It's just Boa.
He marked himself. It's Lord Tensai.
It's Boa's twin brother, also played by Boa.
Who, fine, they go the racist route. Which, like, who else do they have?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
It's Akira Tozawa with his ninjas.
Oh, it's probably... Watch now, it will be Akira Tozawa with his ninjas.
It's just so weird. And then Boa got beat up, and it's a battle of war game stands, and I don't like it.
August Grey, which feels like a fake name from, like, 50 Shades of Grey.
NXT UK.
Or NXT UK, yes. Was beat up by Tim Thatcher backstage, because everyone gets attacked.
I really like that, like, Thatcher just took him out quickly.
But then he got thrown into Dexter Loomis's painting, and that, of course...
Oh, no, not the art.
Angered Dexter. It was actually quite a good caricature, to be fair.
Of tanks and art.
That's the show.
The feuds of NXT.
Candace had a promo.
Sure did. Don't remember any of it. Don't care.
Candace and Toni Storm. Do you remember this match? I remember the post-match.
I remember that I was, like, I felt it was weird that Candace beat Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Like, Toni is so new and was seemingly getting, like, a push, and then it's like, oh no, we gotta feed Candace to her. Like, feed her to Candace to feud this Shotzi Blackheart feud.
And, like, they didn't even have the Scream person come out until after the match.
Which was, oh my god.
Alright, so, I know why they did the Scream thing, because apparently Indy Hartwell tested positive for COVID and could be at the show for 2 weeks. But, like, within the logic of the universe, why was Indy Hartwell in disguise?
You see, okay. It was Halloween.
Yeah.
And people dress up on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Why was she still in disguise?
Because she's one of those people who can't get over the fact that it's not Halloween anymore.
But she's Australian.
Yeah, she's a nerd.
In which we have established in War Games canon, Halloween doesn't exist in your strange land.
No, Halloween happened. First of all, I said Halloween was getting bigger. Also, we know the concept of Halloween.
But she shouldn't be this committed to Halloween, is what I'm saying, Liam. It's not Australian.
Maybe she's just a weird, like, chick who's really into Halloween, man.
Alright. Also, her in the Scream mask this week looked nothing like the other people in the Scream mask.
She's much smaller. They should have had two people be revealed.
It should have been Johnny all along. He cloned himself.
Should have been Vink.
Tim Thatcher defeated Dexter Loomis in a match.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
I thought this match was very boring.
I mean, look who's here.
That's true. Tim Thatcher is extremely boring.
Yeah, that's funny. It's like, I really do actually like Dexter Loomis in NXT more than I've liked him anywhere.
Yeah. Did you not?
Like, I think he's fine.
Did you not like the Sam Shaw, Christy Hammy, Mr. Anderson love triangle?
It got tired very quickly. I liked it in concept, but it just got really, like, I don't know. I got over it very quickly. And he also feuded with Anderson, which is never a good sign.
No, especially that era of Anderson. Like, late TNA Anderson is...
Even early TNA Anderson is...
Yeah, but it's a little more bearable. And he had, like, the assholes phase where, like, he was kind of likable for, like, 2 months.
He was likable when he was in Aces and Eights because he didn't give a shit, and I really appreciate that.
After the match, Cameron Grimes showed up, shoved a bag on Loomis's head and beat him up.
You ready for a blindfold match, baby?
This is one of those, like, pro wrestling things where it's like, why did you shove a bag on it? I know why you did it. It's to set up a blindfold match. But, like, other than
he explained it.
Still.
He said he was scared of Dexter Loomis's creepy eyes.
And I suppose if you believe that Dexter Loomis's eyes are what are controlling the zombies, as we established, he can control the dead, which he didn't use against Tim Thatcher. He probably would have won if he used his army of the dead against Tim Thatcher.
Hey, Garrett.
Uh-huh.
Dexter Loomis has a Sharingan. You know this. You watched that much Naruto. Oh, that should be our ending thing.
Our last episode, we'll play it.
Oh, that's really sad. And then we'll open whatever our next podcast is with just the next Naruto opening.
Yeah. That sets up a blindfold match, one would presume, in the not-too-distant future. Tommaso Ciampa and his snakes in the back.
Why do they get the... He just did a Finn Balor promo.
It's like, not even... Like, I actually didn't see this before you DM'd me, because I was actually slightly ahead of you in NXT, then I fell slightly behind you at NXT. And then I watched this, like, oh, this is full on. It's like, the locker room isn't the same.
The snakes in the back with their 2020. I got Scottish all of a sudden.
Ciampa, he's Scottish. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the snakes in the 20 locker room culture. Hashtag save our children. Well, 2020 locker room culture.
we had a prime target video on Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. Rhea Ripley was talking about how she was like, I was legitimately excited for WrestleMania. It's like, no shit.
Yeah, hey, surprise guys. I was really excited that I was probably going to wrestle in front of 100,000 people against the top woman in the company.
And then it didn't happen. She was sad.
Aww.
Yeah, they're building up that match. That's next week.
Like, love building up a match by talking about another match.
Main event! Tag team titles. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch defeated Breezango to retain. Then Pat McAfee killed them.
Yeah, it's okay. Pat McAfee's the coolest, bro. He's my favorite wrestler.
I will say, I have critiques of Pat McAfee.
I've never said a bad word about Pat McAfee.
I'm going to say a bad word about Pat McAfee.
You son of a bitch.
Needs to modulate it a little. He shouts too much.
Well, he shouldn't be on commentary.
No, even the promo before the match.
Nah, that's the point.
Nah, he needs to go somewhere. He can just talk. He doesn't need to be at 100 the whole time.
Do you like how he did a rock? He did the rock thing.
What rock thing?
He said, turn that sumbitch sideways.
Oh. Did you notice the spot before the break when one of them was thrown? I think he was meant to be thrown into McAfee, but he was thrown next to McAfee. And then
and he just kind of looked at them and was like, ah.
And his foot, I think it was Oney's foot, flew up in like near Pat McAfee's face, and he sold it kind of like half, like he got kicked in the face. It was very strange.
Yeah. Oh, Pat. I just remember Pat not catching Spud at all and just eating shit.
Yeah.
Poor Spud. He took that like, that's how I want people to take that.
Oney and Birch retained, and then Spud came out to try and fight back, but they all got
I think edge. Spud was already, like, I thought that was still during the match. Was that after the match?
Was you're right. But then he made like three different comebacks after the match, getting killed every time.
And then Dunn laid him out.
Poor Spud. But at least he wasn't dumped. Where's Killian Dane? I suppose he's dead.
He's fucking got his skull crushed in.
Sammy got his skull crushed in by Matt Hardy, and he was on Dynamite, I'm just saying.
He didn't get his skull crushed in. He smacked the back of his head, all right? Matt was back next week. That's realistic. This man had his skull impaled.
Mm.
I hope he comes back and he's not hairy. Like, somehow, getting his skull crushed in, he came back and he's, like, perfectly groomed. The beard's shorter, the hair's cut. Comes back a hunk.
Yeah, are you saying he's not a hunk?
He's not my hunk.
That's NXT!
Yeah, you know, pretty good show, I suppose. I didn't really hate it.
Match of the week?
Bunkhouse Bro.
Yeah.
Bunkhouse Bitch Butch.
You and your accidental burns.
That was my favorite thing I've ever done.
And show of the week?
AEW just?
I think I didn't particularly like NXT, so it's an easy AEW win for me.
It was an easy NXT. I have such low standards for NXT, though.
Mm.
Like, if NXT just has a decent show, I'm like, oh, good work, lads.
Well done. You really hit it out of the park.
I didn't want to turn it off throughout the entire time.
Poll says AEW 83-17. If you'd like to vote in that poll, you can follow us in More Games Pod. If you would like to listen to more All Elite Wrestling coverage in your podcasting feed, you can check out Everything Elite. If you'd like more WWE television show coverage in your podcasting feed,
for some reason,
you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. You can listen to them talk about it without having to actually watch the shows. It's a very valuable service that Jeff provides.
Or as I found out, you can watch-alongs with them from 4 years ago on YouTube.
There you go. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Buh.
That's Liam's goodbye when he didn't plan one.
Buh.
Called out.